Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell.
Charles, how are you?
TJ, I'm doing great, man. Good to see you on video.
You as well. You're the traveling man these days, huh?
No, man. And the unfortunate part about that is it's going to be like this for the next few months. It's so funny. Somebody was asking me about this the other day, like, man, that seems like it wore you out. And I think in a lot of respects, I have this love-hate relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in some respects, I thrive on it.
I think you do, too.
I do. I think I thrive on it. It was an insight for myself the other day. I'm like, I actually really, I kind of like throw it in this sort of complaint bucket from time to time, but I know I dig it, in terms of just the experiences I get to have and kind of get to do things a little bit differently. And to Jay's point earlier, when we were having a conversation, shake things up, right? Get out of routine.
Yeah. Yeah. And these new experiences that come our way as a function of it, right? Which kind of leads to, our conversation today. Speaking of traveling and shaking things up, I was invited to speak on leadership at a conference, and it's Black Men in Tech. And it's really focused on the tech industry from a number of different subsectors, but the overarching theme is technology. And it's a nonprofit organization that's been in place now for years. I didn't even know it existed, unfortunately. But I'm speaking with two other gentlemen, and our focus is a 4-day event. And that Friday, I'm speaking about leadership. And, it started to make me think a little bit about, what's sort of my foundational premise for why I'm even on the stage? What is it I want to impart on this group of men? I think the average age is probably around 30, 32, somewhere around there. So they're relatively young in their career, at least relative to me. And then I started thinking, Charles, this wasn't even this organization probably wouldn't have existed when I was in my 20s, right? I don't know if there was enough substance in tech or enough brothers in tech.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To even make up an organization like this. So I started to think, man, if I hadn't gone down this path that I'd gone down from a career perspective and maybe followed my real dream, where would that have put me today? What career would I have chosen? So I kind of want us to talk a little bit about that, for the next maybe 20, 25 minutes. And I'll just sort of kick it off, man. I had two dreams in high school, quite honestly. One was either playing professional football. And the other was to be a psychologist. And I remember clearly those were two things that were presented to me. I didn't pursue either one, ironically. The football thing, I did get a football and track scholarship to college, but it was a D2 school that I'm not sure would have landed me with the New England Patriots. And it was very cold. It was in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So I actually signed a letter of intent and then retracted it and took an academic scholarship to Michigan State for undergrad. But I didn't focus on psychology at all. I went in as an accounting major. So I didn't really follow either dream. And looking back, I ended up getting a doctorate in social science and management focused on human behavior, organizational behavior. So I sort of came back to it in a sense, which I guess is ironic, but it isn't. So I don't know if I had pursued that psychology path early on, if I would have landed in this spot. But what I do know, Charles, is that in some form or fashion through business, I ended up coming back to it, and I did it through sport. Working at Nike for almost 20 years. So somehow I still followed that dream, even though it wasn't as direct a route as I'd envisioned sitting in high school. So I wondered, have you given some thought to that? What was your dream as a kid growing up? What was it you saw yourself doing or wanted to do? And is that sort of where you ended up?
Well, it's definitely not where I ended up.
Okay.
I'm certainly grateful for where I ended up. And I think that, you know, to be able to do what I've done for the last 20 plus years has been a true, true blessing. And I'm grateful for that. But, you know, it's funny about past being aligned and being a little different at the same time. I actually did go to college on an accounting scholarship. Right.
That's funny. That's funny.
Went on an accounting scholarship, far from what I've done as a career. Although I started out my early career in working in accounting within a large corporation. And then once I went to graduate business school, certainly pivoted out of that. But psychology was really an interest of mine as well. I remember taking my my first psychology class as a freshman in college and really being sort of intrigued by that field of study because I felt like I understood it. It made sense to me. Sort of didn't go down that path, obviously. But going into the legal field, working as a young attorney in the corporate realm, and moving into the work that I do now in recruiting, would have never predicted this path for sure. It's been a great one and it's worked out really well. And then when I think about things that I could have done or a different path, I think the one thing that jumps out at me all the time is like, wow, I wonder what would have happened. You mentioned this earlier, had I gone into tech, you know, but I think I look at that more from a perspective of what I see tech as today.
What
it has become. And, you know, I'm always assessing things as opportunities that, wow, maybe I missed that one or I should have been thinking about this. I don't know that my interests would have totally lined up there, you know?
Yeah.
It just never struck me as, okay, this is where true passion and interests are, other than the fact that I think that, wow, could I have come up with something, you know, as interesting as Google or Apple, right? Maybe not. But if I go back to the core of, you know, what I truly have a lot of passion around, and unlike you, I probably can't get back to that at this point. I would honestly, and this is going to sound really perhaps shallow or superficial, but I would put the work in knowing what I know now to really try to become a professional athlete. I think that would have been
makes sense,
particularly in basketball and understanding the skill set required, understanding the level of effort and the level of work that it takes to get there, not to mention you have to have some ability. And I'm not saying I had, you know, all those things in spades, but I also do believe that there is we all need some level of luck and fortune to get anywhere in life, right? Even to where we are today. But I also think preparation is a huge piece of that. And, you know, you and I've had this conversation before. I really believe that, you know, the destiny for just a handful of people was that it was just going to happen. For everyone else, circumstances, how hard you work, what you were willing to do, the time you're going to put in, how much you've perfected and focused on your craft, being at the gym at 5 a.m. instead of being in bed, you know, being at the gym on Saturday night, Friday night, as opposed to out hanging out with your friends, doing your thing, like all these levels of sacrifice and focus and energy to direct towards building that competence and that skill. Again, it can apply to just about anything in life, but being able to do it in that realm to push myself to have the opportunity to be in that conversation of becoming a professional athlete, and doesn't necessarily have to be in the NBA. There's a lot of paths to being a professional athlete. You know, we talk to, you know, like Joel, you know, playing overseas, guys, we know, cousins of mine who had that opportunity to do that, at a different type of professional level and stage. So I think, you know, obviously the NBA is the ultimate goal, but if I was truly going to be true about what I would have wanted to become and be, that would be it.
I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, you spoke about this, you know, putting the work in. You know, as I look back, I think if I had chosen psychology from an undergrad perspective, you know, part of my thinking, Charles, was, am I going to be able to afford the master's degree and the doctorate required to establish a practice or some sort of stronghold footing in psychology? So I think that sort of steered me in the other direction. Not thinking, well, if you do that well, there may be scholarships available, or you'll just figure out a way to pay. So practicality, what I deemed practicality, set in really fast, right? And that's probably why you chose accounting. It was just a practical thing to do. I started as an accounting major. I did not like accounting. I didn't even like it. It wasn't about personal interest as much as what makes sense. So I expanded then, you know, to business and then ultimately marketing, which I was interested in. But, you know, one thing I think I've sort of, I feel comfortable saying about myself, that no, though I may be very disinterested in some things, I've never been lazy. And I think for me, it's always been finding out what I'm truly interested and passionate about. And once I do, I fully dedicate and there's no stop. And at one point that was football. But unfortunately, coming from a pretty small town, it was pretty rare to get a football scholarship coming out of Battle Creek Central High School. I was fortunate enough to do that, but going to Northern Michigan probably wasn't your ticket to the NFL. But I tell you, the one thing that I did learn through that process, and I think I shared this in a prior episode, is being diligent and focused is required regardless. So the fact that somehow I've sort of wormed my way back around to this whole human behavior and organizational behavior, knowing that was my passion sitting in high school, is pretty phenomenal to me. I don't know what the path would look like if I had chosen a more direct route. I really don't know. Would I have become disinterested in some aspect of psychology? I don't know. What I do know, Charles, is everything I picked up in business along the way has fortified anything I'm doing in human behavior. So when you're doing consulting, realizing that at the end of the day, when you're dealing with a for-profit organization, the purpose of all of this is to keep that organization alive and make money. And understanding what that means, not just approaching it from a straight psychologist point of view, that has helped. So picking up all of the conceptual doctoral pursuits related to human behavior later, I think was the appropriate route for me. So I think for me, I guess the short answer is it would have been to become a psychologist. And I wasn't quite sure what the monetization formula looked like on that. But later, I'm sort of finding out what that can mean. And I'm very happy about that. So,
you know, need to come around on that conversation for yourself and be where you are right now, I think is a real blessing. First and foremost,
I appreciate it.
Secondly, I can really, you know, relate to this idea that a career, as we were growing up, I think how we were perhaps, you know, I'm assuming in some ways we were socialized about career in a very similar way, was that there had to be something practical about what you chose to do. And I think you're right, as a decision around something like accounting, the idea is that you likely always have a job, an opportunity to have a job, right?
Absolutely.
But I think it does limit how you are able to really identify with your own work in terms of what it means inside of you and the passion that it brings out. And I think, you know, safe to say, I mean, you shared this and I feel like it was the same for me. It just didn't bring out the passion. I just don't see, I can't see you or myself, doing T accounts every day, right? Debits and credits. I just don't see that as being a part of the what we give back in the world in terms of work. And so, you know, I often have looked at it from a standpoint of when you look at the practicality of it, I mean, even the idea of going to law school, even for me, wasn't necessarily about practicality. It was about something very different. You know, I thought at the time that, you know, I want to work in sports and I'm not going to be able to play in sports, but maybe I can work in sports and as a sports lawyer is a path that could be there as well. But I also knew it was practical in the standpoint of having that skill set would probably always serve me really well.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that has been certainly true and certainly helpful in a lot of respects in everything I do. But for me, as I think about how it comes back around, you know, there's still a future to be involved in sport in some respect, in some way. And that is still a goal of mine. I don't know what that looks like or what that will be down the road or in the future.
So you and I are going to own a sports team one day. I mean, that's what it is. You know, we're going to figure that out.
Could be. You know, I got an email yesterday. This is no joke at all. I got an email yesterday. Someone, it was in my IPO net, one of the networks I'm in, saying, hey, if you're interested in ownership in an English soccer team, let me know. Send me a note. I'm like, I don't know if I'm interested in English soccer.
Well, team which team?
Right now. But the team.
Yeah.
You know,
which league? You know, I mean, we could go the
highly fictionized version of Ted Lasso and maybe Richmond's for sale. I don't know. But, you know,
I tell you what, though, man, you never know.
There's something out there. You never know. And, you know, for me, I think about the fact that developing the skill set along the way that lends itself well to being in that environment. If I had the ability to capture an opportunity like that today, I feel like I'd be very well positioned to do it well, which I think is the ultimate goal, right? Mm-hmm. Anything you want to do that you have passion around, that you believe in, you want to be able to do it well. To your point about not being lazy, it's because you're driven to do it well. Anything I've ever been involved in where I wanted to learn more, grow more, put something behind it all, I knew it required effort and the work to be excellent at it, you know, to be able to say, here's what we're doing. And we're doing it at a really high level to be successful. I think at the end of the day, for anything that we decide to do, that needs to be the stamp that we placed on it that allows us to say our names are on it.
Couldn't agree more, Charles. And I think that we both learned, and we just came off of this conversation with Daniel Madeline. this whole concept of self-identity is so critical to our pursuits and what we feel capable of pursuing, what we're motivated to pursue, what we even develop interest in, because we can also have limited interest based on an undeveloped self-identity. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what that trait is in humans. I think it comes from a number of different things. Obviously, our history has a lot to do with it. That triggers the shift in self-identity to realize that though we're operating or we're on a certain train, there's another train waiting for us. And we feel comfortable making that leap to the other train. I love to focus on self-identity so much because I think that's where we see the seismic shifts in the way people make sense of things and the decisions that people make. And even when I'm doing the work from an organizational perspective, it's getting people to understand that the self-identity is the basis for all of that. So when we chose accounting, for example, it had to do with this construct of self-identity that others may have thought about us and that we adopted as a function of that, or we bought into. And that's not necessarily bad, because at the time, accounting was actually a desirable major, right? Everybody was looking for somebody who had an accounting degree. You were going to get a job, whether it was Westinghouse, whoever it might be, right?
Whoever, yeah.
But it's also limiting in some regards. You know, schools weren't bursting with entrepreneurship majors then. So I think within the confines of that thinking was the reality of what existed. I think the beauty, Charles, is that somewhere, you know, you and I and a lot of others, not just you and I, attached to something broader and bigger and felt capable through our self-identities to explore more and took advantage of that. We all know people who didn't also, who stayed in a zone. And then some of it's just timing. It's not going to all happen, you know, as you're entering college. Some of it is post-college. You start to look at the world a little bit differently. one of the things I think about a lot that you shared was somebody challenging you on living in Carolina, mm-hmm. right? And saying, hey, there's a bigger world out there. And you had a self-identity shift and said, hey, you know what? This Phoenix thing might not be so bad. Mm-hmm. And it changed your life.
No question. I think you are spot on. You know, I think self-identity, if we lose ourselves in it, we miss opportunity.
Yeah.
Because if we don't allow it to stir, right, and create scenarios where we have to really think about who we believe we are versus what the world believes we are.
Yeah.
And try to reconcile the two and figure out, okay, which one am I going to attach myself to?
Yeah.
Well, which one am I going to really like hold on to and allow myself to be open and move versus being
exactly.
And I think that it makes the difference in terms of what opportunities come our way or what opportunities we sort of allow ourselves to enter into. I don't know that I would be here today had I continued to stay in North Carolina and to live that life that would have been in front of me, right? And I don't know that I had the idea or the aptitude or the insight that being an entrepreneur was even available, mm-hmm. right? I think there's some things in the back of your mind, maybe perhaps you're predestined in some ways to have these things come before you, because I can't say that entrepreneurship wasn't in the back of my mind. To your point, it wasn't put there by others.
Right.
As a readily opportunity. Like our kids today, you know, they go off to high school, there's an entrepreneurial program somewhere, let alone the idea that it's flourishing in colleges and that it's a big piece of what people get exposed to the minute they step on a campus or the minute they step into a business school. I don't think that was the case for us. You know, for us, it was about getting that really good corporate job in a field like accounting, where you could certainly carve a place for yourself that you could stay for the next however long, right?
And a beautiful desk at H&R Block.
Rolex 30 years later, you know, and well done. Where do you want to spend your retirement, you know, on whatever income you get on a monthly basis because you've been so diligent. So, no, I mean, look, all these things are super relevant. I think your idea about self-identity captures a lot of how we decide who it is we want to be and what we can be beyond what's happening currently in our lives. I think that's super important.
And, you know, as we sort of close, Charles, I think here's the other kind of silver lining here that you've spoken about, and obviously I've experienced. So you had a grandmother, correct, who was an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Right. But you, that existed, but you took advantage of that. And maybe it was so subconscious you didn't realize you were building an entrepreneurial spirit while visiting her in the flower shop.
Sure.
But that was happening. But you were absorbing that at the same time. I had a mom who, you know, early in my life, she had jobs as administrative assistant. She didn't complete college. But she also took advantage of those situations and decided she would actually use that to leverage into roles in advertising and selling advertising space, et cetera. So she shifted that where I am today into, man, I see a broader picture sitting from this chair, and I know I can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's also observing that, but also feeling like, okay, I can expand my self-identity to incorporate some of that thinking too. So there's that.
That's a great example, because I think anytime you can have the ability to look out to the bigger world, if you're really paying attention, it really is an illustration of what the possibilities are, even also where the pitfalls are.
Absolutely.
And if you have really good discernment about a particular path, and really put those thoughts into action, possibilities are endless.
100%, man. So, you know, again, man, I thank you for engaging in this conversation. It was just something that's on my mind as I feel like, you know, I'm continuing to go down the road and around flourishing, which is, you know, the number one thing these days, but also just encouraging a broader set of, you know, humans to incorporate this in, into their journey in any way I can help. So, man, I appreciate having the conversation.
Likewise, brother. Always great.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.